We're all in. We're all in.
That'd
be amazing.
It's amazing.
Amazing.
We constructed the old
shul.
The old shul.
Amazing.
This big, and you can see the room
where he davened. That's amazing.
What's so amazing about it, though?
I don't know.
Is it a good feeling?
Okay, we are on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're up to the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, the Mishnah here at the very bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, Ashochet Balayla. If someone slaughtered at night, so you couldn't see what he was doing, but he slit the two tubes at night. Or if a blind person slaughters, Shechita Asok Sheira. If it was done, the Shechita is kosher. Says the Gemara, Hashochet Balayla, right? It says, if it was done. So that sounds like Dieved, only if it was done. In, then they okay, L'chatchila lo. But L'chatchila is a first choice. You shouldn't slaughter at night. Or many, but I'll ask you from a Braisa. The Braisa says, L'olam shocht, and forever you can shecht. Bein bayom uvein balayla, whether by day or by night, you can slaughter. Bein barosh agag, bein barosh asfina, you can slaughter at the top of a roof. You can slaughter at the top of a boat. It's all good. Whatever you want, you can slaughter wherever you want. So I'm Rav Papa. Rav Papa said it depends what's going on at night. The Shavuka Kenegdo, if you have a big torch lighting up the night and slaughtering in front of a big torch, then you can slaughter in the first instance. If you don't have a torch and you can't really see, then lechatchila you shouldn't shecht. I'm Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said, Dekanami, that makes you can see that in the language. The Ketani Yasam, it said over there, Dum Yediyom, because it says, slaughtering, right? It says, Le'olam Shochtim, you can always shecht, Bein Bayom Bein Balayla, whether by day or by night. So it's saying the night is similar to day. How is the night similar to day? When the night is lit up with a big torch. Hacha, but Dum Yedusuma, here it says, if you shecht by night or in front or a blind person, so it's talking about where you don't see. And they are saying, if you shecht. Because when you don't see, it's if you shecht. Bechatchila, you shouldn't do it. It's the first choice, you shouldn't do it. Shramina, so that's a good proof that that's the resolution to the contradiction between the Braisa and the Mishnah. When you can see well at night, you know, if you have floodlights and big illumination, so then, even lechatchila, you can shecht at night. But when you don't see well at night, so then, only b'dieved, if you shecht it, it's still going to be kosher if it was done well. But lechatchila is the first choice. You should not slaughter at night. All right, so today's daf is Daf Yudalit, page 14, and our daf is going to discuss Hilchos Shabbos. We're going to get into the laws of muktzah here. As we know, the concept of muktzah is that whatever is out of mind at the beginning of Shabbos, as Shabbos begins during Bein HaShemashot, during the period between sunset and the stars coming out, you're thinking, I'm not going to use this thing. This is out of mind. Then it stays muktzah. You're not allowed to move it in the normal way throughout Shabbos. And we learned back in Masechet Shabbos and in Masechet Beitzah, lots of different types of muktzah. There's muktzah machlas mius. At the beginning of Shabbos, this thing was disgusting. Let's say a used candelabra, a used menorah. Right? At the beginning of Shabbos, it's all dirty and sooty, so you're thinking, I'm not going to use it. So then throughout Shabbos, even if some non-Jew comes in the middle of Shabbos and cleans it, you still can't move it around because it was muktzah. It was put aside because at the beginning of Shabbos it was disgusting. Or it was muktzah machmas isser. Beginning of Shabbos, you thought you weren't going to use it because there'd be a prohibition in using it. You had a candle burning in the candelabra. So to move it is already a problem. You're going to make the flame get bigger, make the flame go out. So because of a prohibition, it was out of mind. So then it stays muktzah. You can't move it throughout all of Shabbos. Or you have muktzah machmas gufo, something that because of its very nature, you're not thinking to use it. It's not a utensil, and it's not a food. So it's, let's say, a stone, a twig, a leaf. You're not thinking to use it, so it's out of mind in the beginning of Shabbos. Now those things, you could make them be in mind. At the beginning of Shabbos, you could say, I'm going to use this stone, I'm going to use this twig. This is not muktzah, but otherwise it would be muktzah. So our discussion today is going to be about muktzah because of the following Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hashochet b'Shabbos u'b'yom ha'kippurim. What happens if someone on Shabbos violates the Shabbos and slaughters a sheep on Shabbos? Or he slaughters a sheep on Yom Kippur. Also a big sin. Get some karis. Even though now he has put his life in the line because he's violated Shabbos or Yom Kippur, Shechita Sok Sheira, the Shechita was a good Shechita, you can eat the animal. So Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, no. No. We'll see. Let's see for. But let's see. Right now we're talking about shechita. So Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, "Dara shechia barav nishmei derav chia barav." The name of Rav. This Mishnah is not agreed to by everyone. Asura ba'achila liyomei. Actually, what this Mishnah is saying, even though it's saying that the shechita is good, it's not good on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you wouldn't be able to eat it. On Motzai Shabbos, you'd be able to eat it. So again, Darash Chia Barav, Nishmei de Rav, Chia Barav said in the name of Rav, Asura Ba'achila Liyoma. On its day, namely on Shabbos, he can't eat it, even if he doesn't want to cook it. He just wants to eat it raw. He would not be allowed to eat it. After Shabbos is when we say, listen, it was still a good shechita, and therefore it could be eaten then.
Even though it
was done with the Veda. That's right. V'nas v'n chevraya, and our students in the yeshiva figured to say, to explain what Rav Chiya bar Rav said, in the name of Rav, they were saying, Rabbi Yehuda hi, because Rav is explaining that our Mishnah is the view of Rabbi Yehuda. So since it's the view of Rabbi Yehuda, no, we know that throughout Masechet Shabbos and Masechet Beitza, we have lots of arguments between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in regards to Muktzah. Many different types of Muktzah, let's say Muktzah Machmas Mios that I mentioned before. Rabbi Yehuda is stricter, he says it is Muktzah, and Rabbi Shimon is more lenient, he says it's not Muktzah. So we're saying this Mishnah is the view of Rabbi Yehuda who holds of Muktzah. So now the Gemara is going to go through today's daf, different cases of Rabbi Yehuda to see if those could be applied to our Mishnah. So hi Rabbi Yehuda, which Rabbi Yehuda is it who says that the item slaughtered on Shabbos is going to be prohibited on that Shabbos? Which Rabbi Yehuda is going to say it's still Muktzah? So I'm Rabbi Abba said Rabbi Yehuda da Achana. So Rabbi Yehuda who says you need to prepare things, and if you didn't prepare them, they are Muktzah. It's not, as we learned in a Mishnah. You can cut up a gourd. Gourd is pumpkin. You can cut up pumpkin in front of an animal. Pumpkin that was already cut off from the ground. You can cut it up in front of an animal. Vesanavela. Lifnia klavim. And you can cut up on Shabbos a dead animal that dropped dead in front of dogs for the dogs to eat it. Rabbi Yehuda Rida says, no. Imlo isanavela me'erev Shabbos. If it had not yet been an avela before Shabbos. Asur, you can't cut it up on Shabbos. Because if it was alive as Shabbos entered, it wasn't prepared. If it was alive as Shabbos entered, so as Shabbos entered, it was out of mind. You're not thinking to use it for food, not for yourself nor for dogs. So now that it drops dead on Shabbos, it still stays Muktzah. It was out of mind as Shabbos began, so it stays Muktzah. And therefore, you can't cut it up for the dogs on Shabbos. So what do you see according to Rabbi Yehuda? Since it hadn't been prepared yesterday for the dogs, it hadn't been killed yesterday. Yesterday it was still alive. Asura, therefore it's prohibited now, even though now it's dead to the dogs. It's still prohibited as Muktzah. Hachanami, so here as well. Since this animal was not prepared yesterday for food, yesterday it was alive. Asura, it stays prohibited now as Muktzah. Amalei Abaye said, no, maybe not. Me dummy, who's to say that that's the case? Awesome, maybe when you have an animal that's alive as Shabbos is beginning, meikara muchan la'adam, vashta muchan la'klavim, it's out of mind for the dogs. Because if it's an animal, it's considered food. And food is for people. So maybe it is considered muchan for people. It is primed for people. It's out of mind in regards to dogs. Now that it dies without a shechita, the only beings who can eat it are dogs, so it's muktzah. But over here, meikara muchan la'adam, maybe when you have an animal that a person shechts on Shabbos, initially, before he shechted it, when we think of the animal, we're thinking it's going to be used for people. So it's prepared for people. And therefore, Hashna Muchan La'adam, now that it actually was slaughtered on Shabbos, it's still being prepared for people. Maybe it's not Muktza. So Gemara says, no. Misaver Behem B'chayel Achilo Medes. Do you think that an animal, when it's alive, is primed for people to eat it? It's not true. Behem B'chayel L'gadol Medes. An animal, when it's alive, is, yes, prepared, but not prepared for people to eat it. It's prepared to raise younger animals. It's prepared to be working. It's prepared to be raising animals. So therefore, now that it's slaughtered and it's human food, it wasn't prepared as human food. So it's muktzah. And since it's muktzah, it can't be eaten on Shabbos. Mar says, if you're going to say that an animal that's alive is not primed for food, it's not defined as food, it's defined as something which is going to take care of other animals, then if it gets killed on Shabbos, since it wasn't prepared as food, it's still mukta, and you can't move it around. So then you should say the same thing about Yom Tov. There is a law of mukta on Yom Tov, the same way there's a law of mukta on Shabbos. In fact, on Yom Tov, it's stricter than it is on Shabbos, because since the Torah allows you to cook food on Yom Tov, therefore the rabbis, when they made the law of Muktzah, they made it stricter on Yom Tov than it is on Shabbos. If you're going to tell me that a living animal is not called food, it's not considered primed for food, it's considered a living animal, it's going to take care of other animals. Therefore, in regards to food, it's considered Muktzah. It had been put aside from being food. It wasn't Mukhan to be food. So if it's not Mukhan to be food on Shabbos, the same should be on Yom Tov. When you have a living animal, as Yom Tov begins, you're thinking this animal is going to take care of animals. You're not thinking that it's going to become food. So then how can the law be that if you slaughter an animal on Yom Tov, you can eat it? It should be Muktzah. It had been at the beginning of Yom Tov, something to take care of other animals. It was Muktzah, it was out of mind from being food. Now that it becomes food on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, it should be still Muktzah. It should be something which had been put out of mind at the beginning, and therefore it stays out of mind, and you're not allowed to move it around. Why do we know throughout the Mishnayos and Masechet Beitza that you can slaughter an animal on Yom Tov and eat it? It should be Muktzah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So again, Ihak, if you're going to tell me that an animal, when it's alive, is out of mind from being food, because it's really primarily for raising other animals, then behemel Rabbi Yehuda be Yom Tov echi shachtinan. Then according to Rabbi Yehuda, how can we slaughter animals on Yom Tov and eat them? It should be muktza still. It was out of mind in the beginning of Yom Tov. Amar lo. So he said back to him, an animal that's alive is both. Omer es la'achila. It's on its way to be eaten. It's both considered food. The omer es la'gadol. And it's on its way to being raised as to raising other animals. Again, I just want to remind us all, our learning should be a schusli lenishmas meira chaya nachama bracha basa David Mordechai. So if it's both on its way omedes lachila, it's on its way for food v'omedes legado, and it's on its way to raise animals. So it's both prepared to be food, and it's prepared to be raising animals. And therefore, it depends. Nishchata, if it was slaughtered, huvera, that then clarifies that what is it? Food. Delachilo medes, and then it can be used as food. Lo nishchata, and if it's not slaughtered, then huvera, that would then clarify, delagadalo medes, that this animal is going to be to raise other animals, and it's not food. So the Gemara says,
raising of animals, breeding
animals. Breeding animals.
I know, but you give them food. Is that what it means?
All sorts of things. And this animal plays with the younger animals.
Raising animal. What does that
give
mean?
This animal is around to have intercourse with males and to have children. It's not around to be slaughtered. It's around to create other kids.
Okay, so this is what
It's in regards to food, it's out of mind of food. It's the thought of everybody, it's going to be an animal to create a flock.
If it's a matter of life and death, could they do the Shech on Shabbos?
Or do anything when it's a matter of life and death.
Isn't there a problem with trapping, too, when you do the Shechita?
That would be if it was in the wild. If it's not in the wild, then if it's already trapped, whatever is already, if something is reachable in one lunge, then it's not trapping. So it's already reachable. So Gemara says, what are you saying now? We're saying that, why are we saying that according to Yehuda, an animal shechted on Shabbos can't be eaten? Because it's muktzah. Why is it muktzah? Because as Shabbos entered, the thought of the owner was, this is going to be an animal to raise other animals, to produce other animals. He wasn't thinking this animal is food. So now it became food. So it's a new thing. So now it's muktzah. It was out of mind from being food as Shabbos began. On Yom Tov, though, it wouldn't be muktzah, because really the animal could be either food or for raising. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to shecht. So you think it could be food, it could be for raising. Now that he was slaughtered, that's revealing retroactively that really it always was for food. So Gemara says, well, lesser Rabbi Yehuda, Breira. Well, you know, the Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with this concept called Breira. Breira means that sometimes you can leave something undetermined, and a later event can reveal retroactively what it was all along. But Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with that idea of Breira. I mean, Ellen, how do we know that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with Breira? Elim, if you're going to tell me it's from the following Braisa, there's another way to read this Braisa. So what would have been the proposal? The proposal is like this. Halokeach yayin mibein hakutim. Someone who buys wine from Samaritans. So we've learned here in Maseches Chulin about the Samaritans. The Samaritans listened to the written Torah, the literal Torah, but they did not keep the laws of the oral Torah. So the Torah doesn't say explicitly you're not allowed to cause somebody else to sin. The Torah says, Lifnei iver lo titein michshol. You're not allowed to make someone else, a blind person, fall. It doesn't say explicitly don't make someone else sin. So the Samaritans, they didn't say that you couldn't make others sin. They say you couldn't make a blind person fall. But they used to think that they could make other people sin. So if you get something from a Samaritan, even though the Samaritan for himself keeps kashrus, but when he's giving it to you, he may not be keeping kashrus. He'll give you something not kosher because he doesn't care if he makes you sin. The Samaritan doesn't care if he makes you eat food that chumos and maisos were not separated from. Unless you're blind. No, that they read it literally. Making the blind person literally fall. But they wouldn't care about causing someone to sin. So therefore, if a person buys wine from the Samaritans, so he has to assume that this wine, nothing was separated from it. Not truma, not maser, nothing. Because they don't care about making me sin. So therefore, Omer, what do I do? Let's say it's right before Shabbos. I don't have time to take out the cups of wine for truma, and another cup of wine for maser, and another cup of wine for maser sheni. It's right before Shabbos. So I'd look at this barrel and I say the following. Shnei lugin shani asid lafrish. The two lugin that in the future I will separate after Shabbos. Harei chuma there, chuma gadola. Asara 10 lugin are maaser rishon. Tisha the 9 lugin are maaser sheni. Now the maaser sheni you can remove. So umeichel, right away you say the holiness of the maaser sheni is taken off and it's put onto coins. And now you leave the whole barrel. In this barrel I have chuma, I have maaser rishon. It's all mixed in the barrel together with chulin. I can drink from the barrel, and after Shabbos, then I'll separate from the barrel the 2 lugin of chuma, and I'll give it to the kohen. I'll separate the 10 lugin of giving it to the levi, maaser rishon. I don't know now which 10 lugin are what. It's okay, later it will clarify what I meant now. Right now I'm just drinking. By the end of Shabbos, I'll see whatever the 2 lugin are left. Those are the 2 lugin that retroactively were what I made chuma originally. Give Rabbi Meir to be Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon Osrin. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon say you can't do that. So why do they say you can't do it? Presumably because they don't believe in Breira. So Rabbi Yehuda doesn't believe in Breira. So if Rabbi Yehuda doesn't believe in Breira, you can't explain why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can slaughter an animal on Yom Tov. Because at the beginning of Yom Tov, it wasn't clear what the animal's going to be. Maybe it's going to be an animal to raise other animals. Maybe it's going to be an animal which is food. And then once you slaughter it, it reveals that retroactively it was an animal for food. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with Breira. So Gemara says, but that's not necessarily a proof. Awesome, over there, there's another reason. Kidakatani Taima, it says it explicitly what the reason is in that braisa. Amrulo Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, said to Rabbi Meir, Iatamote, how could you say that right before Shabbos, the buyer of the barrel can say, 2 lugin in the barrel are truma, 10 lugin in the barrel are maaser rishon, 9 lugin are maaser sheni, I'm going to redeem the maaser sheni and now keep drinking. Don't you agree, Shemi Yibaka Hanod, maybe over the course of Shabbos, the barrel will break, and it might spill. And if it spills, the Kohen's never going to get Truma and Maser, because it all spilled. And then it will come out that there never was Truma and Maser given, and this man will end up drinking Tevel. Rabbi Meir says, no, the kishi yibaka. All right, if it breaks, we'll see what happens then. I don't think it's going to break. So you see, the issue is not that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree that there's breira. Really, later, when the wine is separated, that will reveal retroactively what was the wine, what was the truma, what was the masari shown, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's only fear is that it might break before you get to that point. And because Shem Yibaka Anodim, there never will be actually a hafrasha, there never will be a separating, that's why it's no good. But you see, Rabbi Yehuda does believe in Breira. So if Rabbi Yehuda believes in Breira, now we can understand why Rabbi Yehuda will allow eating animals slaughtered on Yom Tov. Because before Yom Tov, the animal is primed to be either food or just to raise other animals. Once you slaughter it on Yom Tov, you're revealing Breira, that really it's always for food. So Ella, so the proof that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't believe in Breira is midit Tani Ayo, from a Braisa that Ayo taught. The Tani Ayo, Ayo, that was his name. He taught a Braisa in Mesechet Erevin. Now, we know in regards to Mesechet Erevin, there's something called Tchum Shabbos. You're only allowed to walk on Shabbos a limited amount. It could be a Pasuk. The first says, Al Yetze Ishmim Komo B'Yom HaShabbos. So maybe that's the source of Tchumen. Or it could be a rabbinic law. It's a machlokas tanoim, whether tchumen is a biblical law or a rabbinic law. So, I also like this. Let's say you're living somewhere in a forest, so you don't have anybody else around you. So all you have is your house and 2,000 amos to the right, 2,000 amos to the left, 2,000 amos to the front, 2,000 amos to the back. And you hear that there's a rabbi coming. Now you want to go hear his class. So he might be coming to the right. So you may want to move your tchum by putting down two meals at the very edge of the 2,000 amos to the right. That way you're located at that point and you have 2,000 amos further from there. But that would mean you lose the 2,000 amos on your left because you moved your spot to there. Or you don't know if he's coming to the right, he might be coming to the left. So you also want to put down food to the left and say if he comes to the left, that I've shifted my place over to that direction. So that's what I was talking about. Let's say you're in a city. You can't do both. That's right. So let's say we're talking to Tani Ayo. Ayo taught. Let's say a guy's living in a city and he hears a rumor that a rabbi is going to come to the city on Shabbos. He doesn't know if the rabbi is going to come he's going to come to the area 3,000 amos away from the city on the right, or he's going to come to the area 3,000 amos away from the city on the left. So he puts down a Tchum Shabbos 1,500 amos away from the city on the right, and another Tchum Shabbos 1,500 amos on the way to the city on the left. And he says a condition. He says, if the rabbi is going to come to the right, then my Tchum is on the right, and I can move over through, I can go to the rabbi. If the rabbi comes to the left, then my Tchum is on the left. So basically, it'll be revealed on Shabbos where my Tchum is. And Rabbi Yehuda says you can't do that. Ain't adam mas nal shnei dvarim ke'echad. A person cannot make a condition to have one of two things take place when it's an impossibility for both of them to take place. Ella, rather, im ba chacham lemizrach. If the wise man comes to the east, the eruv lemizrach, the eruv is on the east. The tchum is on the east. The marav, if it comes to the west, the ruva lamarav. The marav is on the west. View lekan lekan lo, but he can't say I'm making a condition either this side or that side. Ravinama, we ask maishon lekan lekan lo de embrera. Why can't he make the condition to here and to there? Because basically, Yehuda holds we don't accept brera that later it'll be revealed where it was, which side he meant. Mizrach marav nami embrera. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. What Rabbi Yehuda means is kfar bachacham. Rabbi Yehuda means like this. If the rabbi came before Shabbos, and we just don't know where he came to, so then you can say, okay, wherever the rabbi has already arrived to, that's where my tchum is, that side. Over Shabbos, I'll figure out where it was. That's called gili milsa, just revealing something. But if on Shabbos, he hasn't yet come before Shabbos, and I'm saying on Shabbos it'll be determined which side is my tchum, that I can't do, because I can't have breira. So 1 second. So you see the Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's no such thing as Breira. So if there's no such thing as Breira according to Rabbi Yehuda, so now going back to Yom Tov, on Yom Tov, you can't say that the reason why you can eat a slaughtered animal is because the animal was primed either for eating or to raise other animals, and then on Yom Tov it's revealed what it really was, that it's really for eating, because Rav Yehuda doesn't hold of Breira. El Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, the reason why Rav said that an animal slaughtered on Shabbos is not allowed to be eaten, it's Rav Yehuda de Kalim. He's learning from a different law of Rav Yehuda, not Rabbi Yehuda's law about Hachana. It is a law of Hachana. It's a law of Muktzah, but it's not the Muktzah we said before. It's a different Muktzah. The Muktzah of utensils that break. That's not, we learned in a Mishnah, Kol HaKelim HaNitalim B'Shabbos, all utensils that could be carried on Shabbos. If they break on Shabbos, Shivreya Nitalim, then you're allowed to carry the broken pieces. Vavachi Osim Ein Malacha, as long as these broken pieces are still somewhat of a utensil, they could still do something, they could still be used for something. So for example, Shivreya Reva, let's say a person has a big bowl. So a big bowl is used for kneading dough. So you can carry it around on Shabbos, and then it breaks. So as long as it's big enough, Lachasis Ben Pi Chavis, that these broken pieces of earthenware can still be used to cover the top of a barrel, the pieces are also not muktza. Shivrei zchuchis, if you have a glass that breaks, as long as l'chasas ben pi apach, as long as the broken pieces can still cover the top of a small jug, they are still utensils and are not muktza. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda said it's not enough that they still have a use. They have to still be able to have a use similar to the use that they originally had. So therefore, shivrei areva, when you have a big bowl that breaks, you still have to be able to be using it to put in it something thick, to put in, let's say, a thick soup. Shivrei schuchis, if a glass breaks, the broken pieces have to be big enough to put inside of them oil. Then they're not considered muktzah. Otherwise, they become muktzah.
Should we break it less on Shabbos, then it's muktzah, the fragments.
Yes, but we have, even though it's muktzah, we have another issue, and that is there's something called graf shel rei, that, you know, let's say a garbage container or a toilet. It's muktzah, right? The garbage is not usable, but it's going to create a bad smell. So because it's going to create a bad smell, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the same is true often when you have something break. Yeah, it's maybe muktzah, the broken piece, but it would make the house dirty to leave it around, so you're allowed to sweep it away to move it into the garbage. So, what do we see here according to Yehuda? Mein malachtan in. If the broken piece is still doing something similar to what it was doing when it was a whole piece, then it's not muktzah. But mein malach acheres, if the broken piece can't do what it was originally doing, now it only does a different job, then it is low. Then it becomes muktzah because it's considered nolad. It's considered a new thing. The old thing is gone, and now there's a new thing. This new thing was born on Shabbos. Almas, what do you see? Kimin de lo itzkan me'et melachach melacha. Since it wasn't prepared from yesterday for this thing, asiri, it's prohibited, it's muktzah. So now we can say that's what's going on in our Mishnah. Hachanami here, that's what's going on in our Mishnah. An animal that's slaughtered on Shabbos, even if the animal was called food before Shabbos, but it wasn't prepared for this malacha being eaten. So kim lo itchan me'etzmo, since it wasn't prepared for yesterday to be eaten, asura, now that it's slaughtered, it is muktzah, and you cannot eat it. So Abaye says back to Rav Yosef, what's the comparison? Hasamei karakli, there, originally it was a utensil, a full bowl. Vahashta shevrakli, now it's a broken piece of a utensil. Havalei nola, so now this broken piece is a new thing. So now let's see, what is this broken piece? Is it still continuing what the old thing was? Then it's not a new thing, then it's not nola, not something born new. But if it's something doing a new job entirely, because it can't do at all what the old thing was doing, it's new, it's totally new. So if it's new, it's muktzah, it was born on Yom Tov. For us, you can't carry it around. But when you have food, as we said before, meikara, before it was slaughtered, uchla, an animal before it's slaughtered, is called food. It's called food. Livasof, now that it's slaughtered, it's still uchla, it's still called food. So if it's food, it shouldn't be muktzah. Uchla de ifrasu, it's like food that breaks. The food that breaks.
Can't you also compare it to like the, we learned in Beitza, like, you know, the chicken lays an egg.
Yom Tov.
It
You can't
good.
Olav, right?
So that's exactly what we're talking about.
It's very similar.
It is very similar, but the Gemara is saying there's a difference there. The egg's a new thing. Right. This chicken, this slaughtered animal was here. It wasn't a new thing. It was here. It was food. It just, now the food got messed up. You know, it's okay. Originally, the food wasn't edible. It's still food. It's not, you know, it's when you have food, even if the food changes, it was food before, now it's also food. So it shouldn't be muktzah. So Gemara says, and we know the Rabbi Yehuda holds of this. We know the Rabbi Yehuda holds that food that changes over Shabbos or Yom Tov, let's say it breaks on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Shabbos, it's not considered a new thing, and it's not muktzah. That's not what we looked at in Mishnah. In regards to squeezing liquids out of fruits, the Mishnah says, "Ein sochten es haperos, lehotzi mehen mashkin." We're not allowed to squeeze fruits to get juice out of them on Shabbos. Vim yatzu me'atzman, and if the juices seeped out of the fruits on their own, asurin, you're not allowed to drink them, because maybe if you would drink them, you might then squeeze things. Rabbi Yehuda says, im lo'ochlin, if the fruits were in a bowl because they were going to be eaten, hayotze me'en mutter, then what comes out is allowed. The liquids that come out are allowed. Because if they were sitting in a bowl to be eaten, they weren't going to be squeezed. So then there's no decree that someone's going to go and squeeze them. Vim lemashkin, but if they were supposed to be squeezed into liquids, then ayotzimen asur, then what comes out of them is prohibited. So what do you see? The Rabbi Yehuda says, things that were la'ochlin, they were supposed to be eaten, and therefore there's no fear that you're going to squeeze them. If they then become liquids, you're allowed to drink those liquids. Why don't we say it's nola, it's something new? So it's new. It was the food. Now it was nola. It became a liquid on Shabbos. No, why? Because it was a food and it is a food. It's just a different type of food. The food changed a bit, but that's considered mukhan, prepared. See here too, it should be considered prepared. It's an animal. Now it's slaughtered. It was an animal's a food. Now that it's slaughtered, it's a food. It should be not be muktzah. So the Gemara says back, no. No, there is a difference. La vitmer Allah. Didn't we learn about that Mishnah? Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. Even the Rav Yehuda says that fruits that are supposed to be eaten, sitting to be eaten, they then become a liquid. The liquid is permissible. Well, the Rav Yehuda l'chacham b'salei zeisim v'anavim. Rav Yehuda would agree that if you have a basket of olives or grapes, even though you're putting the olives and grapes to eat them, if they become a liquid, you're not allowed to drink the liquid. Because those things are normally turned into liquids. Alma, apparently, since olives and grapes, most of them are squeezed into liquids, even though this person put these olives and grapes for eating, he's also thinking that he may use it as a liquid. So since he's also thinking that it may be a liquid, therefore, there is the gzeira, there is the decree that you can't drink it, because if you drink it next time, someone else is going to squeeze a liquid out of them. So, achanami, so to an our Mishnah, when you have an animal is normally going to be slaughtered. That's what an animal is for. It's to be slaughtered, to become food. And therefore, even though now, at the beginning of Shabbos, it was alive, and you're not allowed to slaughter on Shabbos, but Yoiv Daite, a person is still thinking, you know what, maybe I will slaughter it, and maybe I'll eat it. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning is that make a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. The same way Rabbi Yehuda says that there is a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. You can't drink the liquids that come out of olives and grapes because maybe next time a person's going to squeeze them. Rabbi Yehuda would say you couldn't eat the meat of an animal that's slaughtered on Shabbos because maybe next time a person's going to go slaughter it on Shabbos. The Gemara says, one second. Me do time el Rav. The whole discussion here is explaining the view of Rav. But Rav used to say, Rabbi Yehuda holds that even a basket of olives and grapes, the liquid that comes out of it is permitted if the basket was there to be eaten. So, again, what's the reasoning of Rav? That Rav says that in our Mishnah, which says that the Shechita works, it only means after Shabbos, but on Shabbos you can't eat it. So what's the reasoning of Rav? Elam Rav Sheshes Beid Rav Yidi. Rav Sheshes, the son of Rav Yidi, explained this, that Rav said that according to Rav Yehuda, the animal will not be allowed that day. Rav Yehuda Dinei Rosi. It's Rav Yehuda about a different type of muktzah, Mukta machmas mius. Mukta because something is disgusting. The tanya, we learned in a brisa. Metatlin ner chadash. You can move around a candelabra, a little lamp that's never been used on Shabbos. Avolo yasham, but not a lamp that's been used and it's already been all sooty and blackened with wicks and oil. Since it's disgusting, beginning Shabbos, a person thinks he's not going to use it. So the same thing here. Since this animal is the beginning of Shabbos, is alive, and you can't eat from it, it's Eivim and Achai. Therefore, it's Mukta. So I said, no, maybe not. Eimer the Shamat Leili Reb Yehuda. Mukta Machmas Mius. Maybe Reb Yehuda only thinks that there is such a thing as Mukta because it was disgusting. But Mukta Machmas Isser, that it's going to be out of mind, and therefore it's Mukta because there's a prohibition in killing it. Maybe Reb Yehuda doesn't agree with that. The Gemara says, and Rabbi Yehuda does agree with the idea of Mukta Machmas Isser. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll get into that tomorrow.